Can you tell us a little bit about the last touring months? How did this part of the tour roll out? Because you have a special guest for the German shows playing violin.
We only have a special guest actually on not all the German shows, because she played with us on the last tour in South Germany. And she hasn't played with us in Scandinavia. We said, can you do Scandinavia? And she went, yeah, sure. And earlier on we said, can you do Vienna and Budapest with us? And she said, sure. You know, she's a friend, but she has a big future, Sharon, as a composer, I think, and a general musician. And so it's really nice to have someone that comes in and plays with us and feels like part of the family and then goes away.
How did you meet?
We met through Toby. Tobias Unterberg is a cello player from Berlin who's a long, long time friend of mine. He's from a band called Inchtoboctables, who I produced in 1994, and then we became friends ever since. And Toby's on a lot of New Mudlami records. And in fact, he played with the support band tonight, and not us. But he's a long, long, long time friend. And then in 3 years ago, we were doing these shows where we had a whole lot of extra musicians. And we asked Toby to bring a violin player in with him. He was playing cello, and we said, we need a violin player and a viola player. And Sharon's got a sort of five-string violin, which does both. He introduced her to us, and we all fell in love, you know, like you do. And on that tour, we also had an extra drummer and a harp player. Kerry, our bass player, his brother plays harp in Florence and the Machine, and he's a bit of a New Mudlami fan, and he came and joined us for that mini tour. We had like a 10-piece band, which was wonderful.
It seems quite fitting because the new songs from Winter, there are a few tracks where you have either a string quartet or a cello player. Especially the song Winter, this is quite fitting for the live version of it.
It is, and actually this was done by somebody altogether different. There's another composer called Henning Nugel, who lives in Potsdam, and he wrote to Jules, the poet, you know, our artist and friend, and he did an album with her called Crow, and we thought it was amazing. And I had an idea for the middle of Winter, which was based on a very old piece of music from a Lithuanian composer called Pateras Vasks. And I wrote to Henning and said, look, can you compose something that works in kind of the same way? And he did. So he wrote the strings in Winter and played them. And then we asked him to make an arrangement for Drifts as well, because we felt it needed something extra. And it was Henning that did the arrangement on Drifts. Henning's been to a couple of shows, but he hasn't played violin, and Sharon's been playing violin. It all gets very complicated.
Well, as a fan, I can say I like it, because when I hear Winter, or especially, and there's another song, Eyes Get Used to the Darkness, which I think is an instant New Mudlami classic. I thought a lot about this one, because it has so many different layers, if you just think about the idea that's behind the song. Can you tell us a little bit about that special song?
I'm sure you have this, you know, this phrase in German as well, when your eyes get used to the darkness, you know, you can see more. And I remember a particularly dark night a couple of years ago in Wales, which is a very dark place, Wales. And the phrase came to my mind. And then it started to apply to lots and lots of things, especially the times we're living in. And also, what I quite like about the song is it's an angry song. There's a lot of lines. You know, it's quite interesting that the album was finished, you know, a long time before Brexit, although I have to say we kind of had a bad feeling about what was going to happen. I sort of knew what was going to happen. But there's a song, there's a line in it which, you know, when no one listens much to what you say, all you're going to say is no, which is kind of what happened. And then it sort of takes a slightly strange turn towards the end. It goes into a rather sweet solo, which Marshall did. And then it goes, maybe out beyond the blackest storms, you'll see the furthest stars. I don't know why. And then it goes all kind of trippy and beautiful.
You played a lot of old songs, some new songs. It was quite a mixed show. When we were at the shows in 2014, it was more new stuff. So did you deliberately change that for this tour? Or is it like each night you're choosing new songs? How do you put up the set list for this part of the tour?
It's difficult because there's 240 songs. But we did the sort of first half of the winter tour in, you know, last autumn. And then we were starting with Burn the Castle and perhaps, I don't think there were more songs from Winter, maybe one more. We played Drifts. But it was more that this time we went out and, you know, we were planning for this tour going, right, we don't want to do the same as we did in the autumn. We want to mix it up with different old songs. I think what happens on this tour, there's one old song earlier, which gives the impression that there's another, you know, we play Here Comes the War, which we haven't played for a long time. We've sort of brought that back on this tour. And Charge is another song we haven't played for a long time. But it's quite difficult to pick a set, because a set has to be a kind of journey. We can't play something very dark and then something very light and then something dark again, because for me, that emotional journey, you can't do it. It doesn't work. You've got to go through this emotional journey yourself. So there's that consideration. Then there's the consideration of the various changes we have, you know, that everybody changes instruments quite often. So you have to make this sort of work. And sonically, it has to keep changing, so it's kind of interesting. It grabs your attention. I think the first two songs kind of work, because R&R isn't a song that's particularly well known. It's you know, it's on Eight, the album Eight. But it starts kind of conversational and then sort of turns into a rant. And it keeps stopping and starting. And I think it's a bit bewildering if you don't know the song, but it's quite short. And it's kind of has got an element of you've got to pay attention. Then we play Winter, which starts off, you know, it's a standard acoustic kind of folk melody. Nice song. Then it goes into a weird psychedelic bit in the middle. And then it stops, and people think it's the end, but it's not the end. And it goes on. And after the first two songs, I think the audience realise that they've got to pay attention to what's happening. So that sets up the gig quite well, I think. I've got a template. I went to see The Ruts in 1979, or the beginning of 1980. And it was 200 people in a little pub. And they were just an amazing band. They were fronted by Malcolm Owen, who was the most charismatic frontman ever. And they were, and the band were just brilliant musicians. And in that concert, for me, was everything that was great and terrible and scary and beautiful and thrilling and everything about being alive. And when I walked out, I felt like someone had just sort of cleaned out my soul. And that's a sort of template. The way that I walked out of that gig, I would like people to walk out of New Model Army gigs feeling like that.
It was quite a beautiful shock to hear you play Higher Wall again. Now we have those crazy times where we have presidents trying to build higher walls, where we in Europe building walls again outside of Europe. It's crazy how relevant this song has become nowadays again.
Yeah. We often do an acoustic song in the middle of the set. It's partly to give Michael a rest. But there was Die Trying, and we played that a lot on this tour, which is written about the refugee camps. And then I was going, well, it's the same subject as Higher Wall and Another Imperial Day, and that we could change between the two. You know, so we've been playing Higher Wall on and off here. I mean, it's just could be written today.
And 51st State as well, because, I mean...
Well, 51st State applies more to us than the rest of Europe. I think that the rest of Europe has rejected TTIP. I hope so, anyway. But the Brexit Department of England, and I won't say Britain because it's fucking England, will rush headlong into a TTIP deal, if they can get one, by which we will sell ourselves even more to America than we're sold already. It does feel very relevant.
Did you ever thought that this times might come back with such force?
Yes, unfortunately. you know, in 2008, we wrote Today is a Good Day, because 2008 was a sort of watershed where this economic political philosophy, which was born or came to sort of dominate the world around the time we started the band with Thatcher and Reagan, and this kind of idea that if you free money to do what money does, everybody will benefit. And this has been really the only game in town for 30 years. Tweaked a little bit, I have to say, in Germany, France, and some of the more progressive democracies of Europe. But that's basically been a sort of dominant economic political philosophy. Come 2008, everything was laid bare before us. The banks crashed. Everybody realizes that the system's utterly bankrupt. It doesn't benefit most people, and it's a bankrupt system. Toby, going back to the cello player, who grew up in the DDR. And he said that the months after the crash in 2008, 2009, reminded him of the last months of the DDR. And I said, what do you mean? He said, everyone knows the system doesn't work, but no one knows how to fix it. It was an opportunity for the world to change direction in the way, you know, economics and politics was going. We chose not to, or the powers that be didn't want to change the system because they were doing fine. So here we are, you know, nearly 10 years later. You know, the line in Winter, I fear the age of consequence. I stole this from a newspaper article I read about, we are entering the age of consequence. Yeah, here we are. Very predictable. Again, go back to Isaac, used to darkness. You know, if you know, if no one listens to much of what you say, then all you're going to say is no. I'm very frightened for the future. But the only thing you can say as a positive is things are moving again. Okay, they might be moving in the wrong direction, but at least we've ditched this idea that you allow money to do what money does, and you allow the rich people to do whatever they want to make more money. Okay, slightly ironic in the case of Trump, but, you know, as a general philosophy for how to organize society and economics, it's dead in the water now. Good.
But it can affect you personally in a way that maybe touring the US can be difficult. Did you play any US shows in the last month?
Touring the US is impossible now. The problem with touring the US is that work permits, incredibly expensive, and you have to book a tour before you can apply for a work permit, and then you might not get one, which is what happened to us on the high tour when we went to America, that we didn't get work permits, so we had to cancel a whole tour, which is sort of financially a disaster. Michael Dean said that he was going to write Muslim on his, you know, on his visa application, just so he doesn't have to go. I would like to go to America. I know we've got, you know, we've got a very dedicated, lovely audience in America, but it's just very difficult. And our terror, as I mentioned tonight, is that in 2 years' time we might need a work permit to come to Germany. You know, it's kind of crazy.
What's the next step you're planning to do? Are there any plans for doing festivals?
We're doing a few festivals, a couple in Germany, a few in England. Not many, but we're doing a few. But actually, it might sound strange, this is quite a long, heavy tour, but I've got, we haven't been in the studio since we finished Winter, which is a year ago, and I would like to go in the studio. I've got a lot of ideas that I'd like to try out and pursue. The band's in a very good place at the moment. We don't seem to be short of ideas. It's not because the world's changed and there's lots of things to think about, you know, to sing about. If anything, I remember, you know, when 9/11 happened, and the world filled up with all, everything's happening, blah, 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 I went off and did Navigating by the Stars, which is a deeply unpolitical album. So I can't say that it's the state of the world's inspiring me. We're just full of musical ideas as a band. I think since Kerry's joined, we've been able to go in the kind of direction that we all want to go together. Heavier. Not necessarily darker. It's sort of darker, but it's more to do with being heavy. Michael and I wanted to go that way, and Kerry does too. Marshall's good and Dean are good with it. And as a band, we're very good together, I think. We're very well balanced. We get on very well. And we all kind of respect each other, and it works. We're all into what we're doing. In some ways, this is my favourite version of New Model Army. You know, there have been a lot of different versions over the years because we're all kind of into what we're doing so much.